I'm going to start out with a couple from Silver Roof Tantrum, which was my first chapbook. So these are actually some of the oldest poems that I have, the oldest ones that I have for tonight. First one I'm going to start out with is sort of a soft, easy one, sort of a fairy tale. It's called The Pear Tree, and it's written in somewhat the shape of a tree. And we start from the roots and go up to the top. So, once upon a time, a girl with no hands was hungry. She wandered late one night into an orchard where a tree bent down its strongest branch and dropped a small pear into her open mouth, and she wasn't hungry. But the next night she was hungry, even hungrier, so she went back to the orchard where a tree bent down its most supple branch and dropped a small pear into her open mouth, and she wasn't hungry. But the next night she was hungry, ravenous again, so she went back into the orchard where a tree bent down its greenest branch and dropped a small pear into her open mouth, and she wasn't hungry. But the next night, you guessed it, she was holy crap, voracious, rapacious, and starving. So she tore ass to the orchard and opened up her mouth beneath a tree, and it dropped a great big hard green pear thump right square onto her forehead, and it bounced to the end of her forearms where her hands were supposed to be. And there, lo and behold, were hands, albeit with a slightly greenish tinge. And it was all very deja vu, she thought, but she was still damn hungry. So she used those hands, she climbed the tree, she used those hands, ate pears to her heart's content, and wandered off where, if she was lucky, she might meet the dawn and they could stroll together, her hand in its denim back pocket. I'm glad your version of the bio mentioned some Mississippi, more of the like Mississippi and Kentucky influences in this chapbook than in my recent stuff. This one is called this one is called Tantrum Words Ain't Nothing. At last, Silver Roof Tantrum, she thought, ain't nothing. Ain't nothing but nothing. Break at vacant holler of hers, smother damn pillar, break at holler. She a tantrum, I ain't aiming a fix. Damn roof ain't broke, ain't nothing I ain't aiming at. Ain't nothing but nothing. Silver voice holler, till she's fixed, she ain't aiming a vacate. She a vagrant, but ain't nothing silver. Done told her tantrum ain't nothing. Ain't no roof over her head, ain't no atlas tell her future, ain't no silver for sale, just a pillow sitting in that vacant head. Break it, baby. Holler at tantrum, go stuff that extra pillow. Best that roof be vacant next time she fixin' a holler. Best that atlas be ready and silver. Tantrum ain't nothing but a roof ready a break. Okay, and I'm just going to do one from The Darkness in the Tent, which is a series, I would say it's about sort of the dark side of marriage. And I say that with all due respect, I guess, because my husband is with my kids watching them right now. And but, you know, there's a lot to a marriage. I'm going to kind of do the most sort of abstract one. This is called Walk with a Pack. Don't be scared, she said. Be not the fear of twisting an ankle, but the turn it over, of building strength. In the heart, in the dark, gently dislodge the locket, not the gut of anger, but in the dark only with clipped fingers feel the locket, a single finger pointed sharp in the brain, relax it, that something so hard could live inside, this skin is getting thinner. There will be one small clasp, one small hinge, and only in the dark, the soft palms of the fingertips, fat and clumsy on the tiny locket. Answer, leather with care is supple and tough. We do not open. We do not open. But push so gently the thick of the thumb, flesh against metal, and melt it outwards. Words is the treasured. Melt it, the heat of a desire. Mold it outside in, a spiral of itself, confused, refreshed. Canyon in springtime. The defiance, a mountain hiked before dawn. Small hut at the peak, rice cakes in hot and sour soup. The sun will be rising soon. Okay, one of my absolute favorite poets is Peter Gizzi. And so I wrote this poem partly in reference to his poem called Hard as Ash, which in turn referenced news of a woman spontaneously combusting on a dance floor in the 1800s. I also wrote it at the time that the Chilean miners were trapped in that mine, and it was the longest survivors of such a disaster in history. So this kind of mixes all those things together. This is called Hard Ash Pete. Hard Ash Pete watched the dance and then the dancer, the danger, blue flames and ash, hard ash, reference. You're wrong about clarity, he said. Such hard ash in the bottom of my mouth, like goddamn cigarette or coal, cold on the skin. Cold skin in the bottom of the mine. That's mine, that body locked away, not used to physical barriers, not used to physical impossibility. All is possible in the mind. Remember that show we used to watch? The man would lift a fork with his mind, then bend it? With God, all things are possible, he said. The pinhole of a camera opening, mechanical for coping. All you have to do is ask. Well, by God, I'm asking. Remove this barrier. That body belongs to me. He is my heart. And I'm not talking about metaphorically removing the barrier. I'm talking about body here, touching me, not cold, no coal between us. I'm asking. I could be asking nicer. I understand that. But my heart, that body is mine. And down here, such goddamn danger and ash. In the bottom of my mouth. We kiss with this mouth. I'm looking for divine intervention here. He was wrong. Have faith. He was wrong. Have faith. There is an answer, but I am not looking for some life lesson, but my love. Hard. Warm body. Warm meals snaked to him through desperate air shaft. A fart could kill if metal hits metal. Combust. We exploded on the dance floor and once and never again. The blue was too strong to kill you. I said I preferred orange, the color of fire. But never again, never again. I'll take a spoon and dig to China, but I don't know where. I don't know. Not used to physical barriers, to physical impossibility in this world. It makes no sense. You're wrong about clarity. Coal is hard. Hard. Dance lightly on balls of feet. The little dance slippers. The little waist. Waiting on the list, explodes onto the dance floor to touch her waist, ash, reference. I actually have two Spoon River. I have one from fall of 2010. So I'm going to read that one first. This is the first line I took from a marquee outside a tattoo parlor that I drive past every day on my way to work in Gary, Indiana. This is called Cartograph. Tattooed people ain't afraid of a little snow. Not by Azul, not by Arapaho. Card me over and light my fire. I've got white on now for the funeral pyre. Ichthyosaur and Oviraptor. On and off ashes and after, give you blank love. Looks for snowstorm. Any blue sky is a true sky, and I don't wear no evil empire on this smiling face for Mardi Gras. It's not true. I don't know. I never did know. I never will know, said God, holding his little G. Pass me over like Jericho or Job. Feed me, whale belly, baleen. Up crawls the snake. Card me, baby, I'll light your fire. Fear the worst and worship often. It's how we get there from here. eating pots of snow with honey drizzle. Okay, I've got a number of poems now that are kind of, I'd say, sort of exploring the sound and language and poetry along with politics, and that the most recent Spoon River one kind of falls into that category. Incoherent. Dimorphodon forensic shitholes, the dead bury their own. Where in the manual does it describe pinhole, psoriasis, fugitive? Trails of shit to the foxhole, the hounds hounding and the elites jumping on the backs, humping the great horse rumps like this is life. Oh yeah, baby, give it. Why is this attractive to you? Is it the era of no breastfeeding finally catching up? I, pinhead, I, suckerhead, I thought you might, I hoped you might, and I amn't a fool, amn't a tool, amn't your gold plate slop jar, so no, here it is, no, here it is, no, here it is. I thought I, shithead, da-na-na-na-na-na, shithead, da-na-na-na-na. Fly, pork, pro, snuff, firkin', shoda, po-diddle, not a riddle called writing for a raise, called how many days would I need to work if I made your money called inco-fucking-hearing. Okay, so this one falls into the same category, but I have not read it in public before, and we'll see how it goes. This is called Palindrome. And I got one more to redeem myself after this if I need to. Okay. Paddlywhack, mo disna palindrome, and morph. Ollie wally dooley alladay, 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 10,000 soldiers strong, alladay, alladay, piranha noni nay. There is oil, there is oil, no more are the rich to toil, there is oil. Auld Lang wage, bandana, 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 dana. Defeat the weak and eat the meek, we never give a damn. Do, re, mi, fascist, di, do, no more can we stand still. Fa, la, 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 la. Deck the hills, the cotton mills, the hardened wills, they get their thrills until we morph. Disna, palindrome, for soldier, stranger, danger, manger, evil live, and I no more to lie here, dead and gone, to go, go to, cut down, rewop. Okay. Okay, this is my last piece. It's also my most recent, and it's just comes from a couple of weird dreams. Okay, home. The wind kept up all night, great gusts rattling the house and plowing through my dreams. The kids slept well, and my husband not at all, and I slept for a long time, waking only to hear the wind again, and the wind in my dreams, like a dream I've had before, walking down the dirt road past the barbed wire gate, the old garden on my left and the pine trees on my right, and the wind blowing me, my coat a small sail, the trees, we all bent left with the wind. I stumbled along, going back to my parents' house, my house, for something important. And all the family and the friends huddled safely in the neighbor's stone house, a kettle on the wood stove and cards out, the kids happy, me a kid and the neighbors still kids, but then my kids too, or is it my kids I'm going back for? And it's not deadly, not yet. Not until I've changed my mission and the wind is gone and I'm in unfamiliar territory and happily exploring the woods on a sunny day. And a sign says, Frobisher's Farm. And since I don't know where I'm headed, I turn that way. My son sings a song in daylight. It doesn't matter which way you are going to, you just gotta know. And I can't remember the rest of it while I'm dreaming and walking alone. And suddenly it's a narrow path between old farm buildings off the coast of a lake or a sea. Beautiful, like a lifetime ago. The two black dogs come towards me, and one is growling, and I've always been afraid of dogs. But then I see a big man, a farmer, a wholesome classic, also maybe from a lifetime ago, but still a young man. And I ask him the way back, and he starts to tell me, and asks, but where am I going? And I say, I was just wandering. And as the words come out, I know it is a mistake. And his brother steps in the doorway, also such a healthy big farmer. And I start to run, but the first one grabs me. I wake up hearing the sound of the wind, and I see the clock, and my eyes close again. And now I manage to grab an axe, and I'm wielding it with all my strength. I'm fighting while I'm sitting, and he's got me into my good gracious. That's the word in my mind. While I'm dreaming, it's in my good gracious. And I land a blow on the side of his leg, and it grazes it, and I raise the axe again, and it slices into his shin bone. And now is the time to run, but I'm so tired I can hardly move, and the wind gusts again. And this time the dogs are at me as well, and I'm trying to fight, and then the wind. And this time the dogs are not. And the brother helps the first into their truck to go to the hospital. It's like an old-fashioned milk truck. And because I'm still lost, I sneak onto the bumper and ride it till we get to a big road. And I start walking again, but I am still lost.